Now, here are some of the letters received at the Evening News during the past week. Ian MacDonald from Billericay comments on a 1999 rugby coin. The rare 1999 Rugby World Cup £2 coin mentioned recently in your pages interested me for several reasons. Its ingenious design by artist and sculptor Ron Dutton, which incorporates a rugby ball, goalposts, and a stadium full of spectators, took me on a trip down memory lane to some of the matches held that year in the newly opened Millennium Stadium, not long after rugby was first recognised as a professional sport. The coin also led me to explore some of Ron Dutton's sculptures and other medals, which focus on themes such as nature and the environment. His 2004 medal, The Choice is Ours, featuring a fish struggling to swim across a sea polluted with rubbish, and a cast bronze medal depicting Stonehenge, are superb. He was commissioned by the BBC to produce a coin celebrating the 50th anniversary of The Archers in 2001, and a medal of his depicting sheep grazing on moorland was auctioned in Ipswich 2 years ago. As for the 1999 rugby coin, it's worth about £3 to a collector, not the £15,000 it's advertised for. As is too often the case, the word rare, when used on eBay, differs substantially from its definition in the Oxford English Dictionary. There are 16 other £2 coin designs much harder to find than that one.
A blow to local democracy has again prompted Eleanor Lemming from Thorpe St Andrew to write in. She says, "The government's technical consultation on reform of planning committees has just finished. If the proposed plans go ahead, this will bring about a major change to our current planning system. Nearly all planning applications would be determined by officers, and the role of local councillor representation on planning committees and the ability to call in applications will be seriously diminished. The aim of the government is to speed up the planning process to enable more residential and commercial development to be built. In my view, it heralds another blow to local democracy. Residents will have fewer opportunities to challenge development, which could have an adverse impact on their local area and way of life, which would be a great shame."
Pat Took from Beccles is sick of windmills. "I loved Neil Haverson's article last week, and I'm glad to see the rocketing years haven't diminished his perceptive humour. When our boys were young, they were prone to travel sickness. Working on the belief that if this problem was put into their minds by the spoken word, it would almost certainly bring on the dreaded TS, or travel sickness, we parents devised a code. If I suspected that a child was beginning to look a bit nauseous, I would say to my husband, 'I think there's a windmill along here soon.' This had the dual effect of A, distracting the child so they were searching the scenery for an actual windmill, and B, telling the driver to slow down and take the corners gently whilst looking for a possible place to pull over. Years later, when both sons were driving us about, the subject came up, and neither of them had ever twigged onto this code. They were both still under the impression that I was really keen to see windmills."
Finally, Paul Rimmer from Colkirk feels that the Reform Party are trying to impress the gullible. He says, "Isn't it rather ironic that on the same day as Trish Fitzmaurice reminds us of the consequences of global warming, that's in the letters page on July the 23rd, the deputy leader of Reform, Richard Tice, reportedly tells energy companies building wind and solar farms that Reform will tear up their contracts if his party forms the next government. The chair of the East of England Energy Group then points out that the said contracts are enforceable, so breaches would cost the country, i.e. us, taxpayers, billions in compensation. Mr. Tice probably knows this, but he won't let the facts get in the way of a good headline designed to impress the gullible."